worry about me. No, I don't need anybody. I'll just do the show myself. No, all alone in the studio. Yep. So. Yep. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970.
It's really hot in here.
I think you're going a little mental. You know, the thing is, I feel a lot better today.
73 degrees.
It's 72, by the
72.9.
way. 72.9. You're holding the... I can read it. You're starting to sweat. 72 is still not warm.
It's very warm.
That's not even room temperature. Room temperature is like 75.
No, it's not.
Here's the thing is, I
what
feel...
What rooms do you live in?
What kind of... the thing is, I feel a lot less crazy today, but you are all... You're hella crazy. You are... You're all kinds of crazy today. So...
I start to get that nervous anticipation for flying.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, you know, but you hit the... Do you have your Xanax?
No. God, no. No, I'm never... No, I'm never taking any kind of medication... on the plane again.
Why?
Because it made me all crazy last time.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian Blank is here from CNN. I'd like to hear all about how you went crazy, though. Oh, before we bring Brian Blank on, though, so Scotty, and we will introduce Brian, because Scotty created, he says he has a new bed that we should use to go into breaks or to bring people on. So this is a new pit of production by Scotty J. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to now... I'd like to welcome to the Rick...
Will you just pick up the phone?
I'd like to welcome now, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rick Emerson Radio... Brian Blank joining us now from New York. Hello, sir.
Wow, quite an introduction, Rick. That was amazing.
Yeah, well, we aim to please here, sir. I tried to find an opening there with which to introduce you, but none was forthcoming. let's just pretend that there's an exciting the sound and the swell of the orchestral music here that welcomes you onto the Rick Emerson Show with a song that is both uplifting and appropriate for your placement in New York City.
You know it's an honor just to be here.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. How's life, my friend? Now it's been a while since you were on the clock there. We talked to you, a few weeks ago before the holidays. Now you're back.
I missed you.
Thank you. I know that you were missed by many of us, especially Sarah Dillon, who felt that you added a certain panache to the Rick Emerson program in your last appearance here.
It's true.
Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, guys.
Well, it's what we do.
Well, how have you been?
Is this the awkward small talk? Is this like when the long-lost lovers are reunited because they run into each other at the bagel store or something, and it's a lot of, so, how's work? Now, are you... Let me ask you this. Now, what is it you do when you're not on the phone with Nitwit radio programs talking about the news?
I'm a producer for the New York Bureau that we have here. So I'm kind of doing behind-the-camera stuff, helping our reporters here get their stories all filled out and taken care of.
Now, is your goal to be an on-air personality like this, or just a thing you do to pitch in to help?
You mean a radio?
Yeah.
It's a thing that I do to help for right now, but, you know, if the opportunity came up, I would probably take it.
I'm telling you right now, the list of people who've started right here in the Rick Emerson program from CNN and then gone on to greater things is lengthy, Brian Blank. This could be your brass ring, your golden ticket, your diamond-encrusted door that leads to fame and glory.
Really is an honor just to be here.
All right. Well, let's talk about, we've come full circle. Let's talk about David Beckham. Now, here's the thing. You got to understand a couple things. A, I don't really know anything about sports. B, specifically, I don't know anything about soccer. C, I don't really care about David Beckham, except for this. A, his wife looks like a bag of antlers, and he apparently is some sort of hooligan who punches people. Now, he was more like a Manchester United guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, he played for Man U when he was playing in England.
Now, what is it? Is he fallen out of favor in England? Why is a guy who? Because that's a different breed of soccer over there. And let me ask you this: what is the difference between soccer and rugby?
There are quite a few differences, from what I understand. The ball's shaped differently. You know, they carry the ball in rugby and throw it to each other. All sorts of things like that.
All right. So now, is he just? Is this sort of like? you know, like when Bill Haley could no longer sell records here, but he just goes over and tours in England constantly? Is that the deal? Why is a guy who's such a huge star in England come over here and slumming it with us? Because the United States isn't really known for its soccer acumen.
Well, that's a good point, and a lot of people are asking that. You know, the fact is, he's not even playing for England right now. He was playing for England, but then he went to Real Madrid, which is Madrid's big soccer team. He was playing with major soccer stars from around the world on that team. So he's actually going to be coming here from Madrid. So he left England a while ago. But the question you're asking is important because a lot of people are asking themselves if America is the place really good soccer players go to die, in a sense. At least at the end of their careers. Pele did it. He came to America, and he finished things off here. And so is this great for David Beckham? It depends on how you look at it.
Here's the
He's
thing.
Not that young.
The thing about now, is he over the hill in soccer terms?
Not really. He's 31 years old, and in a press conference today.
He's 31?
31.
Let me ask you this, Brian Blank. Do you ever mentally compare yourself at the age you are against other people, celebrities, maybe people you look up to, and you're constantly tracking your own achievements in life as contrasted with their achievements at your same age?
Well, some. I'd say that's probably everybody does that.
And so whenever I hear that a guy like David Beckham, who somehow I thought was much older than that, and now I find out he's 31, that's the sort of thing that'll make you just toss a strap over your shower rod when you get home. Because this guy, I mean, he for a while was just the biggest thing ever, right? I mean, in terms of the sport, he was huge. He was massive.
Yeah, people know him all around the world. I don't know that everybody would say he's maybe the greatest player out there right now, but it certainly has been one of the greatest that the sport has seen.
Yeah, is this because America's trying to make soccer more popular here? Because I can tell you right now that's not going to work.
That's exactly right, because they figure that if there's anybody who can sell America on the game of soccer, it's going to be this guy. Because outside of America, this guy's like Madonna. He's like the Tiger Woods of golf in America to the rest of the world as far as soccer goes. He is a celebrity, he's a star, he sells things, he's on the TV and movies all the time. In fact, in London, they had one museum had an hour-long video of this guy sleeping, and thousands of people came to just watch this exhibit of David Beckham sleeping for an hour.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I'm not really a sports guy, so I'm the wrong person to say this, but I think, as Dan Rydell once said, I think the key to soccer is to make the goal bigger, because I don't really want to sit and watch like a 3.5-hour game that ends in a riveting 1-1 tie, which is how most of the soccer games that I've ever seen in my life kind of resolve themselves. So I might suggest that, or just a series of randomly placed landmines. Just something to sort of spruce up the sport a little bit. Feel free to pass any or all of these suggestions along.
Oh, great. Yeah, no, that actually sounds like something that they would probably look into. The owner of the team he's going to play for, LA Galaxy, said today that they basically realize they have to do something with the game to make it more appealing to Americans. And they're hoping that it's going to be this guy, David Beckham, who does that for them. But still, I mean, I think that they've got to shoot it differently. They've got to do all sorts of things.
I think at a certain point, the ball ought to just be equipped with a bunch of really razor-sharp spikes that just protrude out from random angles.
That could be good. Or did you know about this guy, Zidane? You may have heard this story. He was maybe the greatest soccer player out there right now. I think he was playing in the World Cup, his very last game, and he headbutted this other guy in the chest.
Oh, yeah, totally. I did see that.
Maybe a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Make soccer more of an XFL type thing.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Brian Blank, my friend, the second time we've had you on, it's a pleasure. I hope we speak with you again. Enjoy your New York afternoon and your weekend. We will talk to you at some point in the future, sir.
The honor is mine. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Brian Blank, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think that guy gets me.
Oh, I think he does.
You think so? Do you think he's just unsure of his footing? Do you think he just is not quite...
I think he doesn't want to overstep his bounds.
He hasn't learned yet. We haven't... The delicate and subtle dance of newsman and host, it is not the... It's a thing that you have to learn over time. It's like a thing or some stuff.
Truly inspiring.
Thank you. Let's see. We'll get Melissa in a second. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was going to say, regarding doing stuff in other countries, if you look, when you get your passport, if you look through it, it says you actually are still subject to the laws of the United States.
So does that mean when you're over in Amsterdam and you just decide that you want to spend... Because that's the only reason anybody goes there. What, right? I mean, everybody just goes there for drugs and whores.
Yeah, I mean, if as long as you're not, you know, coming back bringing pot, the government's not going to do anything to you, but you could, you know, got random U8 at your job. And then you came up positive, even if you did it legally in Amsterdam, you'd still get hosed.
Okay, but they couldn't. So, but your job could do that, but you couldn't be subject to criminal prosecution here.
No, not not really. I mean, then what are they going to, they can't really prove anything.
Yeah.
But if, I mean, if it was serious enough, I think it was, you guys were reporting on it earlier in the year, or the last incarnation of the show, where there was the guy that they were trying to track down in Indonesia for sleeping with underage prostitutes, even though he was doing it there, they were trying to get him extradited to the U.S.
Like a Gary Glitter kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right,
there you go.
Oh, Amsterdam's beautiful. It has the Vincent van Gogh Museum is there. Also, Anne Frank's house.
Oh, is that true?
Mm-hmm. I've been in there. It's the most amazing.
The house, the house that they hid. The behind the cupboard house?
You can actually, they have the cupboard, and you push it back, and you go up.
Oh,
and
that's
still
creepy.
They still have the wallpaper and some of the pictures she put on the wall.
Oh, see, I couldn't do that. It would just freak me out.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone, by the time you leave, everyone's just bawling. And
really? Is that? Oh, man. We you know what we ought to bring back is going out on Friday with a really depressing song. Remember we did that for like 3 weeks where we tried to find really horrifically depressing music? And we
Cats in the Cradle.
Cats in the Cradle, and then that Johnny Cash, the Hurt song. And we were just trying to end all the Fridays in a big down. Because I was just going to say that there's so many of those things that you feel like you ought to see. It's sort of like a no pain, no gain thing. Like, you can feel yourself becoming a better person, but it's like being punched in the scrotum repeatedly. To have to do it like the Holocaust Museum is that way. Where you're walking through the Holocaust Museum, and really, I mean, you can say it's a thing you really need to see because it's such a monumental horror that you can't really grasp it. Like, when someone says, like, there's that art exhibit they did a couple years ago where, like, some kids, like, put 6 million paper clips or something. Like, they like, hung 6 million paper clips in the town square or whatever. It was something, but it was, like, to get a grasp of, like, how many 6 million of anything is. And it's like you can't even really fathom, like, well, what is 6 million? It just becomes so big you can't even really grasp it. But then there's this part of it. I realize now that I've picked the single most disturbing and depressing topic in the history of all the world. You know, that's what we do. So, but this place where you walk through the Holocaust Museum and... As you're leaving, as the final thing you do is you walk. Have you been there?
I've been to one in London. Are you talking about the?
Yeah, where you just walk through and it's just like hundreds of thousands of pairs of shoes.
Yeah, I've been to the one in London. Yeah, you just walk in. It's just walls of shoes.
Of shoes that they just found like in the camps and you know and then the death rooms or whatever. And you're and so you know and I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm trying to retain my composure and so forth because you don't want to just because when you're walking through a place like that, if you let yourself start to just sort of like lose it, you'll never get all the way through. You'll just be like, I have to get out of here. It just gets to be too much. So I kind of keep my composure all the way through, and the Holocaust Museum was designed, and this is it was designed partially by Steven Spielberg, and I mean this in the best positive way. I don't mean this as a negative, but Steven Spielberg is a filmmaker. He's very good at manipulating emotions and really and sort of controlling an emotional flow so it peaks and troughs and whatever. And so you go through the whole thing, and then you walk into that final room, and it's just like the acres of shoes. And that's it. That's when you're just like, that's it. I weep for all humanity, and there is nothing redeemable at all in the human race. And then you just go back to your hotel and just turn off the light, and you just sit silently in the darkness for like 9, 10, 12 hours. So that's the kind of thing that is historically important that I just... there's only so many of those you can do on a trip. It's like Ellis Island is the same way, man. Ellis Island is the creepiest place. I mean, it's great, and it's amazing, and it's just... And I'm not a big... I'm not a big believer in the supernatural and... ghosts and whatever, but you go to Ellis Island and there is like this strange, weird energy in the air. There is like a bizarre vibe there that is just, you can only do one or two of those over an entire trip because otherwise the whole thing just becomes relentlessly gloomy. The thing about Amsterdam is, so they have that stuff, but Amsterdam, you know, the thing is, Amsterdam is sort of like Kent State, where it doesn't matter what Kent State does. I think Kevin Smith made this observation at one point. It doesn't matter what Kent State ever does. Kent State could cure cancer. But it doesn't matter because they're just going to remember, like, the girl pointing at the body and the whole, and the picture in Time magazine or whatever with the guardsmen firing on the kids. That's Amsterdam. It doesn't matter what they do. It's just going to be like pot and whores to the rest of the world. That's just, which I guess there are worse images to have. Melissa, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. I feel bad talking about sports after talking about the Holocaust.
I realized as I got about halfway through, like, it's a Friday. We should just get back to the James Brown noise. But I was thinking about that, about how Amsterdam, I had, no, I mean, and I read the Diary of Anne Frank, whenever, and I still had no Like, it's no right. That's how strongly the pot and whores thing is burned into my mind.
Oh.
That, like, this, the one of the most single famous authors of all time, like, didn't even remember that she lived there. What's up?
Well, you were talking about Beckham with regards to the soccer deal.
Yeah.
The thing is the Major League Soccer, they're trying to build it in the United States, and they're bringing him over to rescue him.
Not going
to
happen.
I agree. They're just, but I just, that's basically the, and it's not that he's old, it's just that he supposedly brings a little bit of star power to the deal, and they're hoping he'll have the effect that Pele had many years ago. So, anyway, I just wanted to answer that
question. You know what the thing about it is? Soccer is sort of like the metric system. It's one of those things that I think we overslept on the day that they handed out all the interest in that.
Oh, it's just boring.
That's what I mean. I mean, look, and again, I'm not like a huge sports fan, so I'm probably the wrong person to be speculating on this, but it just seems like a goddamn tedious sport to watch.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I mean, I would rather watch the world's longest game of pickup sticks than watch people play soccer. I can't fathom anything that is more tedious than that.
Well, it is boring. Anyway, thanks a lot and have a great day.
Thank you. I'd like to leave you with this thought. All right, there you go. Do we have to break?
Yep.
Take a break. I'll just, thank you. We'll be back after this. Coming up around the corner, Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, the Top 5, Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. Later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, Tony Starlight, like us at 3. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Diamond song?
It doesn't sound like Neil Diamond at all to me.
What does it sound like? It sounds
like the more rockin' Beatles, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that the melody is stolen. Well, there's two things. There's the sound of the band, and then there's the actual melody. I'm not saying the melody's ripped off. I mean, it's an original melody, but it is. There's a little moment. It's that. Hey, little man, na, 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 na. I'm doing that Scotty thing again. There's a little melodic line there that sounds very reminiscent of something else. Now I have to play it one more time so we can figure it out. You can't do no wrong. You can't do no wrong. Right here. Sounds so similar to something.
It's damn catchy.
Oh, it's going to bug me, though. All right, 503-733-2970. There's some scruffy young lads called the Young Immortals. And let me read this from them, and then we'll go to the Ministry of Truth here. This is from, this is from Jacob. Is Jacob the lead singer, Sarah?
I believe so.
Anything you'd like to say about Jacob?
I don't know, Jacob.
Okay. Rick.
What?
I thought this would make a funny follow-up story for you guys. This is from Jacob, who is the lead singer, apparently, for this band, the Young Immortals. By the way, have you gone to their MySpace page, and like half their friends are girls named Sarah?
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Man, dude, I got to give it to you guys. If you didn't do that intentionally as a marketing, don't tell anybody. As Frank Zappa told Alice Cooper about killing the chicken, if you didn't do it, don't tell anybody you didn't do it. Because that's a thing you can relate to your biographer in years past. You can go, then we had this brilliant idea of recording Hot for Sarah, and then we sent it to every Sarah in Portland. I mean, that's brilliant. I actually just want to steal it and do it myself. I just want to form a band just so I can use that marketing gimmick. Anyway, Jacob says, Rick, I thought this would make a funny follow-up story for you guys. I am Jacob. Hi, Jacob. Meet John, Big Tree. I am a delivery driver, he says. I am also the front man of the Young Immortals. Let me say, great show. You're all very funny. Mike the... You amuse me. Dance for me now, monkeys. Mike, the bass player, was responsible for sending Sarah the email about our song. So when he told me you were going to play it, we listened intently. You can imagine the frustration when I found MySpace wouldn't load the song. Yeah, we couldn't get to play for the longest time. I don't think I've ever hit the steering wheel so hard or screamed as loudly anywhere than a show. I thought, oh, the humanity. So I raced around town trying to find a hotspot to log onto MySpace to allow you to download the song, but no such luck. And then, just before you gave up, the song began to play. I was at a four-way stop when I witnessed a car plowing into a pedestrian right in front of me. I threw the car into park and I screamed, oh my God! I jumped out of the van and I ran to the aid of a screaming, bleeding girl while dialing 911. The phone operator said, please state your emergency, blah, blah, blah. And I screamed, some girl's been hit by a car! You gotta get here! Throughout the whole event, I was hovering over a crying, bleeding girl, trying to sedate an angry boyfriend, wiping the tears of the old man who'd hit the girl. Meanwhile, the door to my van is propped open. And I can hear parts of Hot for Sarah playing in the background. How sad is that? What's the number to your shrink? Where is my humanity? After the police arrived and questioned me, got my information, and sent me on my way, I got in the van, only to discover I had missed the entire segment. Needless to say, what an adventure today was. Thank you so much, and if you want to come to our show at the Doug Fir, we'd love to put you on the guest list. Whoop, whoop. Whether Sarah comes or not, we're going to dedicate that song to her.
Oh, really?
So there you go. That is from Jacob Ray.
Well, to that thing you do.
See, there's something
running down the street with the transistor radios.
Yeah. Totally.
And the TV store.
Exactly. But with more blood.
Yeah.
If Liv Tyler had fallen into a threshing machine right before she got to the to the Patterson's electronics store. Let it burn all night! Here's Tim Riley. At the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, I found the David Wu Klingon speech.
Woo! Oh, I'm so proud of you to leave that there. You sent that to me in my other... that's like that time I set my cell phone number on the air. Let's see. Riley has sent you a video. All right, so this is David Wu.
He was inspired by Klingons to make this speech on the House floor today, and it's already had like thousands of downloads already.
Because you put this is the new because there's no point in getting anything on the television news anymore. Who watches that?
No,
it is all about viral marketing, as they say, or as
how many hits has that had so far? And it just tapped
12,956, as Stan Mack would say. The mainstream media is no longer the dissemination point. The viral. Marketing is really where it is at for today's young electronic consumer.
He's right, you know.
Yeah, no, he is right. All right, so this is David Wu.
David Wu on the House floor giving a speech inspired by Klingons.
Without objection. Mr. Speaker, 4 years ago, this administration took America to war in Iraq without adequate evidence. Since that time, the administration hasn't listened to the American people, it hasn't listened to our professional military, and it certainly hasn't listened to this Congress. You know, it was said of a prominent businessman in downtown Portland that he never listened to anybody, and that if he was ever drawn in a cartoon, he'd be drawn without ears. Now, this president has listened to some people, the so-called Vulcans in the White House, the ideologues. But you know, unlike the Vulcans of Star Trek, who made their decisions based on logic and fact, these guys make it on ideology. These aren't Vulcans.
I don't understand. First of all, I think David Wu is Italian. Secondly, I don't understand...
He's Chinese.
What is he... I know him. See, it's a callback. I don't understand what he's doing here.
He's making a speech.
Who is calling them Vulcans? I mean, he's saying that the Republicans are so-called Vulcans.
Mm-hmm.
Who's saying that?
Who is?
No! What's the man's name?
David Wu.
Wu!
He's the Wu guy.
Wu's on first.
And he's from Beaverton.
This has been the longest week. Ow.
Oh, that must have hurt.
No, those weren't my teeth. It was my ear. Okay, this has become a terrible who's on first thing. Okay,
it's a who's on first.
Stop! No. Okay. Who? Who is referring to the Republicans as Vulcans?
David Wu.
No, no. Okay, listen.
You go back and start it again. At least
listen to any bot. Oh, this is the gripping part. Mm-hmm.
Without objection.
Mr. Speaker, all right. 4 years ago, this administration took America to war in Iraq without adequate evidence. Since that time, the administration hasn't listened to the American people. It hasn't listened to our professional military, and it certainly hasn't listened to this Congress. You know, it was said of a prominent businessman in downtown Portland that he never listened to anybody, and that if he was ever drawn in a cartoon, he'd be drawn without ears.
What prominent businessman in downtown Portland is that? Does anybody know?
We don't know.
Why does he do it? I hate things like that. Why do they have to tease you and then not reveal?
Now,
listen.
This president has listened to some people, the so-called Vulcans.
See? So-called Vulcans. Who's calling them that?
He is.
Okay.
The White House. The ideologues. But you know, unlike the Vulcans of Star Trek who made their decisions based on logic and fact, these guys make it on ideology. These aren't Vulcans.
See, they're not Vulcans. He's saying they're not Vulcans.
Oh, I see.
Yet, like 10 seconds ago...
Well, maybe he's just talking about how good the Vulcans are.
No, but he...
All right. There are Klingons in the White House. But unlike the real Klingons of Star Trek, these Klingons have never fought a battle of their own. Don't let faux Klingons send real Americans to war. It's wrong. I yield back the balance of my time.
For what purpose does it...
this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Whoever created the video tagged it with that little George Bush thing. All right, I don't understand anything he was saying there.
I'm sure all Clyde Lewis listeners.
I think you're right about it, though. I think there really is no point to that. I think he has somebody on his staff.
12,000 hits on that.
That's more people who
would be home to watch it on the 6 o'clock news.
Except the thing, I think that everybody would be with me on this, but I think that that's a speech given by somebody who clearly doesn't really watch Star Trek. That's a guy who's attempting
doesn't
to look... it's attempting... He's attempting...
Doesn't claim to be an Indian.
He's...
Doesn't claim to be a Klingon.
He should totally... He should... He
just
should,
like a Klingon and give a speech.
He should totally turn and cry. He should totally... We should do that. All of our... Every time we do a press release, every time we do a photo, we should just have a tear running down our... we should just have one tear running down our cheek. All right. I don't know what's going on here. Let's see. This is Helen. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. Let's see. And... All right. Helen, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I know that Sarah flew before, and I thought about this, so this time I'm taking care of it.
Oh, wait, no, is this...
Sarah needs to get some rescue remedy at the health food store. It's like flowers, tons of flowers in a container in this made in England, and you put a drop underneath your tongue. You don't get high, you don't feel anything, but it relieves the anxiety. It's really something that everyone should have on hand. If you get angry, you put a drop in and it just soothes things out. It's no drug, really. It's been around for ages, but she should really keep that on hand for herself.
What's it called?
Rescue Remedy.
Is this something you sell or have a financial stake in?
No.
Are you
it's
lying?
It's been around for ages and ages, and I'm telling you that, Sarah... Really, you should, when you're going to fly, you need to use it. You just put a drop underneath your tongue.
Why would you not just get drunk?
Oh, no, drunk because drunk can make you sick on the plane.
Sarah, she's got an iron stomach. She's,
No, but this will really, it will make you not scared, really.
Okay, cool.
All right.
Yeah, I always take it when I fly.
All right, thank you.
All right,
thank
bye.
You. Thank you, Helen.
Why, Helen? Why do you do this?
Really, the only reason I took that call is so I could play Burgess Meredith there. Let's see here. Brandon, you're on the Rick. You're on the Rick Emerson. Hello, sir.
Oh.
Hi. Hey.
Hello.
Yes,
okay,
hello.
I got you now. Hello.
Ah!
No, I got you. You there?
Yes.
Okay, so in 2003, I'm sorry, there's a book called Rise of the Vulcans, and it was about Bush's advisors, and it turns out that they, behind closed doors, called themselves the Vulcans because, in their mind, they were the first people in the White House to use logic and, like, you know...
And, see, that's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I knew that there was an answer there somewhere, because that's the thing, is David Wu was clearly referring to something in the past, and I didn't know what he was referring to.
Right, exactly. He was saying despite what they think of themselves, they're really out of touch, is basically what he was saying.
All right. No, no, no. Okay. I see now it all makes more sense. And again, and I firmly believe that this is, there's some young geek guy on his, there's some young nerd on his staff that told him, look, you got to go there and you talk about Star Trek. It'll be all over the internet, and then people will love you, and then blah, 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 blah. That, and it's happened. Here we are, and it's worked. And here we are talking about it.
But it was slightly lost in translation so that he still sounded like he didn't know what he was talking about.
That's true. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Brandon. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the youngest son of the late godfather of soul has been left penniless. The attorney for James Brown's disputed widow, Tommy Rae Heine, said the former couple's child, 5-year-old James Jr., is not listed as one of Brown's 6 children in his will. The documentary was read today in South Carolina. The lawyer also claims that Heine was not left any money either. James Brown died on Christmas Day at the age of 73. His body's just been rotting in the back room somewhere. let's see here. She accused James Brown's attorney, Bunny Davis, and accountant David Cannon of locking her out of the will, adding, quote, they've been robbing from him all his life, and they'll do it again, unquote.
Now, the best part, now, do you have, where are you reading that from? Is that from an AP story, or do you have the copy that I pulled for you?
No, I took this.
Look for the story. I pulled a version of that story this morning.
Thomas says, Humber Blaine, Brown, there we go.
Okay, now see if you're going to read this. Now, this is an interesting thing. Now, Tim just read the AP version of the story. I just pulled
this is the Metro version.
Okay, I pulled the Yahoo News version of this. See if you can spot the key sentence in this version of the story.
Okay. Starting again. The 5-year-old child of James Brown and his partner, Tommy Rae Heine, was not inducted in the will read Thursday to 6 of the entertainer's children. While the will provides for 6 children, Heine's son James Jr. is not one of those listed in the document. The will was read Thursday in Aiken, but has not been filed in probate court. Brown died Christmas morning at the age of 73. The gates to his home were locked soon after his death. Until the attorneys could get the estate's legal affairs in order. The house is owned by the trust and has been that way since August of 2000. Technically, the trustees owned it for the benefit of the trust. It was not in the name of James Brown and has not been that way for years. Heine's attorney, Thornton Morris, said he doesn't know anything about the will.
You know, no, am I thinking of a different story altogether?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Are you thinking about...
Oh, the humanity. Oh, I pulled a story this morning.
Well, this is it.
No, it must be a different story.
Oh, no, it's a different story
entirely.
This whole
thing is blown. This whole thing is just pointless now.
Waste not, want not.
that was 2 minutes we'll never get back, and it served no purpose at all.
We wasted more time on more frivolous things.
On ironized Cody and how he was able to get out of his house. Let's see. This is... Well, see, I knew we were just going to get these. Now, Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick Emerson. What's up, brother?
Jesse!
Hey, I just moved here, I don't know, like 7 months ago.
Yes, sir.
And Sarah's drinking buddy, who she has to give props to, got me listening to your show.
Which one? That could be any number of people. Could be dozens.
The guitarist for the couple bands.
Oh, did you say Luke?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
He's the man. Yeah, I just moved here from Miami, Florida. You guys keep me sane.
Florida? Excellent. Thank you. No.
My dad was one of the original OG cocaine cowboys, died flying coke into Miami, so I have problems with flying, and I flew here to move here.
Wait, let's back up.
Are you telling a dying flying story?
Dying flying. Wait, hold on. So your father smuggled cocaine, and so you don't like to fly?
Well, he died flying into Miami, crashed in the Everglades.
I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't know. It didn't. It said advice.
No, forget about it. I'm over that. That was a long time ago.
He's over it, Sarah. So you don't need to worry. Feel a lot better, Sarah. Jesse's over that flying fear now. Yeah.
No, man, but I flew here, and the only thing I could say is if you want to go organic, screw what that lady was saying. She had some investment there. There's a stuff called Kava Kava. Just take a couple drops of that. If not, Xanax always works.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Are you spreading the word about the program?
Yeah, I got some friends in Miami listening to you on the InterVet.
On the what?
The InterVet there, whatever that is.
All right. That well, great. Well,
wireless pocket machine.
Well, thank you, sir, and God bless you, and you call us anytime, all right?
All right, thanks. Hey, I saw snakes on a plane with you like the second week I was here.
Oh,
thank you, guys.
Excellent,
oh,
cool. Fantastic. Will you call us anytime, Jesse? We thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We appreciate.
They want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet, and again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line. It's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material.
Okay. Well, so Jesse's over his fear of flying, Sarah. So that's the good news from
yeah.
that call. I don't really know. Now, here's the thing. I don't understand what happened when you took Xanax the last time. Is it Xanax that you took?
I mixed it with alcohol, which it said that you could. I know.
Does it say that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, it just says...
Drink heartily. Consume wildly and with abandon.
It said may cause
drowsy. I've seen commercials for that.
Grind up inside Bushmills. What? Consume with your favorite cocktail. I don't think it says that.
I think she was reading it without her glasses.
I think somebody altered your label, Sarah.
Well, didn't say you should drink with it. It just said if you drink...
Please do.
You might become drowsy. So I figure if they're addressing the fact that...
Washed down with whiskey.
If they're addressing the fact, you know, that they're assuming that somebody might drink, they might get drowsy.
Your logic is like, if it doesn't flat out say that
you'll
liquor...
You'll end up in an old barn somewhere.
If it doesn't flat out say that liquor will kill you with the product, you assume it can just be mixed readily.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you consume? What is the combination of substances you consumed?
Like a Bloody Mary and... A couple of vodka sodas.
Now, the man you were with at the time claims that you did 8 shots in about 90 minutes.
No, we didn't do any shots.
Okay.
But I had all those mini bottles.
Oh, that's what he must have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Many, many of those. And then the full dose of Xanax?
I think I took 2.
So,
did you take Xanax for children?
So,
I know. I was stupid and nervous, and I can't remember the flight.
So you took 2?
I finally came to, and I was wandering around the Chicago airport.
So you took 200% of your Xanax dosage and 8 mini bottles. Now, when you say you had a bad experience...
How did you get off the plane?
I don't know.
Did you go down the chute with the luggage?
I don't know how I got on the plane. I don't remember anything about the plane ride. I don't remember getting off of it.
Fantastic. And so
that
I...
was the worst day of my life.
And the best part is that somehow this is the Xanax's fault. Like when I brought up your fear of flying, take Xanax. I'm never taking Xanax again. That stuff screws with me.
Well, this is a much shorter flight.
I like how somehow it is the fault of the product that you took twice the dosage and chased it with vodka all night. And that's like me jamming a bunch of matches into one of my orifices and then complaining that these matches are defective. Oh, God. All right, that's probably a bad analogy, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, well, there you go. Let's take one more, and then we'll go back to the Ministry of Truth. Here's Mike. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please don't talk about flying.
No, I was calling you about Amsterdam.
Okay.
I was just, you know, Amsterdam, as far as Amsterdam goes,
yeah.
It kind of makes San Francisco look like Des Moines, Iowa. And I was just going to tell you, though, but the drugs over there are neither legal nor illegal. They've never had really laws for them or against them, so they figured, well, why make laws against them since we never had laws for them? The only reason I know, my family's from Holland. I've been there several times.
What is the deal with shoes made out of wood?
Oh, the wooden shoes. They wear those. The farmers generally only wear those. I don't know if you've ever worn wooden shoes. Basically,
Hold on.
I bet Sir X Dillon will get off the plane today wearing wooden shoes.
Seriously.
And have no memory of how you got them.
If you had to guess right now as to whether or not I've ever worn wooden shoes, Mike, what do you think the answer might be?
No.
Yeah, there you go. So.
Well, basically one-third of Holland is reclaimed from the sea, and it's very marshy and very wet. And it's amazing when you're in these agrarian areas where it's just like quicksand, you actually float above the mud with these shoes on. They're like little boats. And okay. When you put them on your feet...
They're like little kayaks.
Yeah.
And then you cry.
Well, you know, but another thing with about the Dutch, too, a lot of people don't realize if you... I've gone
little Indians. I'm sorry? What?
Well, another thing about Amsterdam is kind of interesting. Uh-huh. My relatives all live near Delft and Harlem and places like that. We never much go into Amsterdam. But you can go up to anybody on the streets and scream and yell at them, and they don't do anything. And it's just because when you live in a country like that, when you're always in fear of the floods and the sea, you know? Am I breaking up?
Yes. No, you are breaking up. What? What? Okay. It's funny how he gave himself the hook there. At a certain point, he just realized that he was just wading deep out into a conversation that no one really cared about.
I had a pair of wooden shoes.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
My mom bought them for my sister and I. They're really uncomfortable.
No, really? I'm stunned.
Well, but not the way that you would think.
Well, you have to break them in.
Does really your mom reach out and feel the toe? Now walk up and down the store a few times in these wooden shoes, honey.
No, they really hurt the top of your foot.
Yeah, well, they're made of wood. You're Tim Riley.
Well, you need Dutch feet to be comfortable in those. Well, a Colombian man has been arrested on a charge that he hit his daughter's boyfriend in the head with an axe.
Fantastic.
Randy Clayman Norman has been charged with attempted first-degree murder for the assault at a home on... in the city of Columbia. This is in Tennessee. The boyfriend, Michael Fuller, remains in critical condition. He was taken to the hospital by a helicopter. A detective is traveling to the Vanderbilt residence to continue the investigation. Check back for more updates later.
Let's introduce the next story with this news sounder that I pulled out of the cart stack.
Snaps released in China to celebrate the year of the pig. Taste sweet and sour. When you scratch the front of the stamps, they smell like a popular Chinese dish. When the back of the stamp is licked, it tastes like the dish, too. The stamps are on sale in China ahead of the new year.
Are you telling me that they're selling stamps that taste of pork?
That's correct, yes. Okay. It is the year of the pig in China.
What was it the year of last year?
Oh, I'm not sure. That's a good question. Somebody Chinese out there must know. Now that we're trying to stereotype, I mean, anyone could know.
The ironized
code. You're painting yourself into a corner.
We're looking in your direction. Yes. All right.
Meanwhile, the Royal Mail of Britain launched its first scratch and sniff stamp in 2001. It was a stamp of eucalyptus.
Okay. Let's do one more and then we'll break.
A mysterious San Francisco company has launched an equally mysterious product aimed at coffee drinkers seeking an extra boost. The company and the product share the same name, meth. Coffee.
Oh, that's like that cocaine energy drink that they're selling now in L.A.
It is a thinly veiled reference to methamphetamine. But the
a thinly veiled reference. It's called meth coffee.
There's no meth in the coffee.
It's very subtle. You really have to...
Just coffee beans and something a little bit different called yerba mate. Yerba mate comes from South America and is used to make tea and coffee there. Sellers of yerba mate products claims it raises your energy levels, so pairing it with a... say, already caffeinated coffee beans, it provides quite a boost. It is now on sale, available only at their website.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. God, okay, let's see, what do we have here? Well, let's do one more, and then we'll be done with this unpleasantness. Hello, Benjamin in the Mighty Southeast. What's up, sir?
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir.
So, obviously, from the humor you guys have injected into the situation, you realize that Sarah way overdid it with the drugs and alcohol combination.
I know. Yeah. That's why I'm never taking
these. He's not an example of children.
I would say it's not that you have to avoid it. You just got to do it in the right way. If you're going to have maybe one drink, that's fine. But also, there's two...
one drink.
And I mean, just one. It's not,
Yeah, Sarah.
But here's the thing. There are a couple that are really popular, a couple of anti-anxiety meds, and one is Ativan. Xanax.
Yeah,
Ativan.
All right, Ativan is my friend.
Well, Xanax is, I take Ativan when I go to the dentist, and they're going to come at my mouth with sharp, pointy things and needles, et cetera. But here's the thing is that Xanax is the more powerful cousin of Ativan. And what you don't want to do is take, 4 milligrams, 2-milligram pills.
Yeah.
You take just one 1 milligram Ativan. It'll take the edge off. It won't make you loopy. It won't make you go into that twilight sleep. It just kind of takes that anxiety level and brings it down.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
We'll take a little break. We'll come back after this. We're going to come at your mouth with sharp pointing objects after this. Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.